About the song,
We take a look at some of the top artists of jazz from yesterday and today, as well as comedians, interviews, and more, all here on the Johnny Athens Variety Hour. In the 115, welcome to the Johnny Athens Variety Hour. Today we have a very special show for you. Of course, every day is special, and today is no different. This week is different from every other show we've ever done. When mankind thinks of the Soviet Union, there are some words that immediately come to mind. Red, sickle, hammer, Karl Marx, not to mention anything that seems anti-West, anti-democracy. If it's big in America, one may have confidently assumed that it doesn't exist in the USSR. Yet, Stalin loved cowboy Western movies, and the people of the USSR love jazz. Today on the Johnny Athens Variety Hour, we take a retrospective look at jazz in the USSR. As many of us know, the beginnings of jazz are rooted in the depths of Louisiana, in the deep American South. Throughout the South, where the oppressed and poor mix the music of their cultures with the music of their communities. It was this fact that brought jazz to the USSR in the 1920s. Soviet leaders considered jazz music, music of the oppressed. And of course, if you asked a Soviet leader who is the most oppressed, they would say Brezhnev's mattress, or the working class, the people of communists. And so jazz was welcome into the USSR with open ears. We even have the date of the first jazz concert ever in Russia with amateur musicians on October 1st, 1922 in Moscow. Now, of course, the Red Nation would be much different in its formation in the early 1920s, just after the revolution. And it would go through many incarnations and expansions over the next 60 years. But jazz music does have a place, although maybe not well known, throughout that livelihood. One such composer was a famous band leader called Oleg Lundstrom. He's considered responsible for composing and performing a lot of Russian jazz standards that are still played to this day. His formation of the Oleg Lundstrom Orchestra is a historic jazz band formed right around the influence of jazz began to spread around the Soviet Union. In 1994, they actually won a Guinness World Record Award for being the oldest formed jazz band in the world. We'll also take a listen to Valentin Parnak, as well as Alexander Safsman, two other pioneers of jazz in the USSR. In the early days, a lot of the music just came from America. They bought records, they listened, the musicians learned the music, and then they played it. These three, Alexander Safsman, Valentin Parnak, and Oleg Lundstrom, not only did that and popularized it through their many bands and performances, but they also composed new music, which was integral in associating it within the USSR and Russian culture. So without further ado, we shall play a couple tunes from each of them, starting with Alexander Safsman, Joseph Joseph, on Indie 115. Thank you.
На солнечном пляже в июне в своих голубых пижамах девчонка-звезда и шалунья, она меня сводит с ума. Под синий берсерк океана, на желто-лимонном писке, настойчиво, нежно и рьяно я ей напеваю в тоске. Мадам, уже песни пропеты, мне нечего больше сказать. В такое волшебное лето не надо так долго терзать. Я жду вас, как сна голубого, я гибну в любовном огне. Когда же вы скажете слово, когда вы придете ко мне? И взглядом играя лукаво, роняет она на ходу, вас слишком испортила слава. А впрочем, вы ждите, приду. Потом опустели террасы, из пляжа кабинки свезли, и даже рыбачьи баркасы в далекое море ушли. А птиц так грустно и нежно прощались со мной на заре. И вот уж совсем безнадежно я ей говорю в октябре: мадам, уже падают листья, и осень в смертельном бреду. Уже виноградный куст желтеет в забытом саду. Я жду вас, как сна голубого, я гибну в осеннем огне. Когда же вы скажете слово, когда вы придете к нам? Взгляд опускаю устало, шепнула она, как в бреду: я вас слишком долго желала, я к вам никогда.
Indy 115, welcome back to the Johnny Athens Variety Hour. Today, we are taking a deep dive look into the history of jazz in one of the most unlikeliest of all places, the USSR. We discussed how it came to be in the USSR in the beginning of the 20s. Very quick, like most of everywhere else in jazz, jazz spread around very quickly like an infectious disease. It found its way around the globe, and it hung on to some places better than others. But as we learned, the USSR was one of these places that originally embraced it. It opened it up with great tunes and great renditions of classic tunes that were coming from America. Soon enough, though, American artists were finding their way over, such as Frank Witter's and Sam Wooding's troupe of American black singers, dancers, and jazz musicians known as the Chocolate Kitties. Leningrad, having turned into a synagogue of Soviet music, produced its own musicians, and soon enough, gone were the covers and in came the stylistic Soviet suites. It was not only a great chance for Americans to come over and really bring legitimacy to a very new style of music at the time that was somewhat despised, but a way for people, some of these original spearheaders of jazz, you know, a lot of them came from poor backgrounds or were, you know, suffering from segregation in the U.S., could go out and find success and comfort in their success from other people. As we discussed, the big positive in the eyes of Soviet leaders with jazz was that it came from oppressed people, and the whole idea of the communists and the Bolsheviks was that they were oppressed and that they had to find a way to bring themselves up to standard, to show that they're equals. This was jazz music for them, and the fact that they started then making their own music was a huge step in this incredible genre we call jazz. One of them, Leonid Ustinov, was a bandleader and singer who was very important in the establishment of jazz in the Soviet Union. Many compare Ustinov to Frank Sinatra, and I wouldn't argue with that comparison. There is some controversy on whether or not he could be considered a jazz musician or just the 30s version of a pop musician, but the same could be said about Frank Sinatra. Nonetheless, a broad overlook of Soviet jazz musicians would be incomplete without at least a mention of Mr. Leonid Ustinov. Another character was somewhat inspired by Ustinov and also helped popularize jazz music in the Soviet Union, and that was Alexander Varlamov. He was a very prominent bandleader and is credited as one of the most famous bandleaders and one of the directors of the State Orchestra of the USSR. Yes, the government also had a state orchestra that played jazz music for public concerts and what have you. And of course, back then in the USSR, if you didn't have the support of the government, well, then you didn't exist. We'll discuss more about Alexander Varlamov and the band here after a couple tunes. Right now, we'll play for you Lucky Road by Alexander Varlamov here on Indie 1015's Retrospect on Jazz in the USSR. Thank you.
весь город, который я вижу во сне. О, если б вы знали, как дорог у Черного моря открывшийся мне в цветущих акациях город. Цветущих акациях город у Черного моря. Есть море, в котором я плыл и тонул, и на берег вытащен, к счастью. Есть воздух, который я в детстве вдохнул, и вдоволь не мог надышаться, и вдоволь не мог надышаться у Черного моря. Не забуду бульвар и маяк, огни пароходов живые, скамейку, где мы, дорогая моя, в глаза посмотрели впервые, в глаза посмотрели впервые у Черного моря. Родная земля, где мой друг молодой лежал обжигаемый боем, недаром венок ему свит золотой, и назван мой город героем, и назван мой город героем у Черного моря. А жизнь остается прекрасной всегда, хоть старишься ты или молод. Но каждой весною так тянет меня в мой солнечный радостный город, в Одессу, мой солнечный город, у Черного моря, у Черного.
Indy 115. I'm taking you back today to the Soviet Union. Right now, we're in about the 30s of the history of jazz over there. Coming out of the 20s, where the jazz music came in and it got popular, several years went by, and the popularity of jazz continued to grow, not only in the US, of course, but in the USSR. Soviet leaders saw this popularity as a threat. Nothing could become too popular. Jazz was labeled a part of the bourgeois, degeneracy, unbridled sex, emancipation, not only the habits of every Soviet elite, but the essence of jazz itself, and that was dangerous. It was even coined the music of fat people, which, when we turn to Jackie Gleason, we understand. In 1929, there was even an attempt by the Soviet Union to ban the saxophone. Throughout the 1930s, foreign jazz artists were banned from entering the USSR. Homegrown artists were left in peace, with their performances extremely limited. It was in the midst of World War II where jazz found a warm place. Like many other countries, bands were used as morale boosters for troops scattered throughout a war-ravaged Europe, longing for home and simpler times. One trumpeter, Eddie Rosner, was particularly popular, much to Stalin's dismay. After the war, Rosner was arrested for trying to leave the country illegally and sentenced to 10 years in the gulag. Though he was allowed to take his trumpet with him, many of his recordings were also lost. On top of this, playing saxophone was officially made illegal by the Soviet Union in 1949. So it was in this time, World War II, where there was a small reimbursement of jazz to the Soviet peoples. Alexander Varlamov, as we mentioned, composed the state orchestra, and that was very big with touring around. But then there were occasional artists, as I mentioned, like Eddie Rosner, who also found his way. But as soon as the war was over, like Eddie Rosner, these guys tried to find either a better way of life or some form to pursue their art, and it was often met with intense retaliation and was considered a dangerous path to follow. So don't be discouraged. Jazz does have a brighter future, spoiler alert, but not for a while. Right now, let's take a listen to what boosted the people's spirits way back then during World War II with some music by Eddie Rosner here on Indie 115.
La bella signorita, signorita. Поехала на свидание парень на осле. Прелестное создание ждало на селе. La bella signorita, тари-тари-тари-та. Он белый был, а ясно парень на веселе. Почетик обрел на хозяина сол. И думал осел, вот осел. О любви надо петь, как поет те приличные кореро петь. И огня не жалеть. О любви надо петь, если можно понятнее и проще так. О любви надо петь. Но она не шла, и лопнуло терпенье, даже у осла. La bella signorita, тари-тари-тари-та, вдруг всем на удивление запел осел со зла. Тут дама потоп шлет убрать двух ослов, что нежных не ведают слов. О любви надо петь, как поет соловьи пенни в росе петь, и от нежности млеть. О любви надо петь, если можно понятнее и проще так. О любви надо петь.
Indie 101.5. Today we take a look at jazz in the USSR in a retrospective. It's been a while since we've done one, and it's great fun. I always enjoy doing these. I learn so much, and you find so much music you would have never found otherwise. And right now we're taking a look at the time just following World War II. And following the war was an immediate and hard-hitting oppression of jazz once again. As we mentioned, during the 30s, when jazz got really popular, the government didn't like it anymore. They kind of tried to ban jazz and end it in all its forms in the Soviet Union. But then during the war, the troops needed morale. There was a lot of American bands over, of course, doing the same thing, playing for their troops, and that music was the popular music of the time, which was jazz music. But now the war was over, it kind of reverted into those ways of no more jazz. It's not a great place. In fact, at the time, there was a common slogan in the Soviet Union, which said, "Today he plays jazz, tomorrow he'll betray his country." And who knew Charlie Parker was akin to Oliver Cromwell? In the 60s, a world was coming to change. Social protests scattered the globe. Riding the coattails of the grand success of jazz in the 50s, the 60s not only brought in a new wave of jazz in the USSR, but a new club, the legendary Bluebird in Moscow. As a result, the following decades brought back famous performances by the likes of Jerry Mulligan, Thad Jones, and Mel Lewis. So during the 50s, as life continued on after the war, there was the beginning of the Cold War, as we know, we did see some easing of tensions, at least on the forefront of jazz. They were still allowed to practice the art craft in the USSR, but as I mentioned earlier, foreign artists were banned from coming. That did change much later on. We'll see Jerry Mulligan, Thad Jones, and Mel Lewis perform a little bit later on in the 80s. But there was just a lot of change happening in the world during the 60s. And by then, jazz was, as we know, a little bit on its outside, at least in the mainstream. So with the mind of the government, I suppose, caught up on the space race and Cuba and all the other things going around, jazz was kind of left to its own vices. And it was in this time not only a golden age for jazz in America. Of course, the 50s brought Kind of Blue, and many artists were at their peak at the time, as well as into the 60s. We have Jerry Mulligan, actually, with The Girl from Ipanema, and with the João Gilberto and Astrid Gilberto producing those great albums. But we saw a similar renaissance of jazz in the USSR with Eddie Rosner, of course, Alexander Varlamov, and Oleg Lundstrom, who was a staple of jazz throughout its time. And even today, of course, he's passed now, obviously, but it was a staple of jazz in those times. And we saw fusions of jazz. Jazz fusion came up in the 70s as well. So let's take a listen to some of the different aspects of jazz in the USSR. A jazz in the USSR that is now independent, you know, being cut off from the rest of the jazz scene, it becomes something of its own. It's very unique due to the fact that they could not collaborate with other artists. They couldn't collaborate with the, you know, quote-unquote mainstream jazz scene in perhaps France or America. So they were really off doing their own thing. And it's here that we see some very curious works. Oleg Kutsenko and his jazz ensemble playing some jazz fusion pieces in the late 70s. And we'll also have Mel Lewis and Thad Jones for you here with Dedication to just give you a taste of what perhaps they were performing for the folks in the Soviet Union here on Indie 115.
Thank you.
Indie 115, welcome back. This is the Johnny Athens Variety Hour. We're taking a retrospective look at the history of jazz inside the USSR. And we just looked at the 50s, 60s, kind of glazed over the next 20 years as well, because it was an art form left to its own devices, jazz, since it kind of moved out of the general public mainstream. The artists were kind of left alone to do their own thing. So it was popular amongst those who loved it, and it was available to grow and develop. Eventually, as we know, jazz struck again in 1991. After the collapse of the Soviet Union, the whole country fell into crisis, and so too did jazz for just a little bit. Many artists left Russia and other Soviet states, bands broke up, and the crisis only ended in the 2000s, when I suppose all those things subsided a little bit and new artists were able to come up, or those who stuck around were able to establish a new kind of form of life and presenting their music to the public in this completely new world they lived in. I sincerely hope you enjoyed today's show. It was a lot of fun in researching this music, these artists, and getting to the chance to listen to it. This idea was actually brought up by a friend of mine, and I thought it was a really great idea. It was really curious. I said how I want to do a retrospective, and he suggested, why not music in the USSR? And I thought, well, that was curious, because it's very easy to assume that in the USSR, all these communist states, an art form such as jazz that was so deeply rooted in American, it's an American invention, you know, part of the West and part of the democracy and everything that they took as anti-communist, was something that did exist. And it goes to show that these kinds of things live through the people, not through governments. Jazz is truly one of the unique arts in that it is intrinsically tied in history to not only social movement, but to people's self-expression and a way of communication through music. So once again, I thank you so much for tuning in, not only to today's retrospective, but to the Johnny Athens Variety Hour, as well as to Indie 115. If you'd like to get in touch, we have our socials, johnny.athens on Instagram and Johnny Athens Entertainment on Facebook. Just a heads up, next week there will be no program. We're doing some renovations at the studio, so next week there will not be a show, but the one after that there will be, with special guests Bill Kuhn and Laura Crema to talk about string songs, here on the Johnny Athens Variety Hour on Indie 115. Good night and take care.
To Indie 1015 CIOI.
nations have